The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, t-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's merchmonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Hello and welcome to episode 64 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Last weekend's drama saw Mindtemple 2 improve the doubters wrong and took home the Mahar Cup with a 1-point victory in the intermediate, while Temple Derry will return to hurling's top table with a convincing victory in the Seamus Arian final. While Loughmore and Turles Arsfield must do it all again after a draw in the Dan Breen with Liam McGrath hit the equaliser in a pulsating game. We'll get all the views of the resident experts, Tommy Vares, Enda Tracy and Turles Arsfield's Sean Smith, as we look back on these games, while Tipperary football PRO Anthony Shelley will join us shortly for an in-depth look at the five finals to be played this weekend coming. Make sure not to miss out on any future episodes by subscribing on SoundCloud or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, while our website, thepremierviewpodcast.com, has all previous episodes and some very interesting articles. Owen and Padraig are flat out on social media also, so don't forget to follow us on Premier View on Facebook, at Premier View Pod on Twitter, and Premier View Podcast on Instagram to stay up to date with all the latest news, quizzes, and a bit of fun also. But first, two matters at hand. Sean Smith, did you get out of jail?
I think so, to be honest. If you had a lot more draw when they were seven down in the first quarter, it would have taken it. If you had another draw and were two down with 8 to go on o'clock, it would have taking it, so think out of jail a bit, to be honest. If you kind of touch and go the season at the end, but I'll take that draw and run. A few of our marquee players probably didn't perform as they should, or Loughmore had them well marshaled, but regroup and go again now is all we can do.
Yeah, and Sarah's won the first quarter convincingly, I suppose, two goals from Dennis Maher on 9 and 10 minutes, but after that, it was kind of all Loughmore, wasn't it?
Yeah, you'd have to say Loughmore won the last three quarters of the game, really. Just steadily started reeling them back in point for point. Probably could have been level at half-time if they had a patch of poor shooting there just before half-time, or they had three or four wides in a row. But you just got the sense that they were going to make it a tight finish. And yeah, as Sean was saying, it seemed to be that Sarahs are lucky to have another day, that they were there for the taking. And it could be a missed opportunity for Loughmore now, because you'd imagine that Sarahs won't have as many players playing that badly again. All to one go, probably a good bit of motivation there. So probably, I don't know, I think Loughmore probably deserved to win it just marginally, but you have to make a count on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I suppose, but saying that, they led once, was it, with kind of 6 minutes from the end was the only time they actually led in the game and had to get an equaliser from Liam McGrath to level it. So, like, I suppose you said Sarahs maybe didn't play up to scratch, but like all good teams, they weren't playing well, but they were still getting scores and staying in touch and staying in front, I suppose, weren't they?
Yeah, but I think the two goals came within 60 seconds of each other, didn't it? And it just hit Loughmore for six there. But after that, you'd have to say that Turles didn't really capitalise on that advantage. And I think, I don't know if it was a mental thing where they thought, right, we've a fair gap here now, if we just keep tipping over the points and try and keep them arms linked. Maybe that comes into the thinking a bit, but over the course of the match, you'd have to say Loughmore did the most hurling. Other than those two goals from Dennis Maher, they're probably the better team.
Yeah, Sean, the influence of Kieran Connolly was huge around the middle of the field. I thought he had a super game, but Mickey Cahill probably stepped out of the middle of the field into that half back line to try and counteract the movement of John McGrath, and that probably took a lot from the general play of the Sayers.
Yeah, Kieran Connolly, Lord, to be honest, he was everywhere. Fitness ever looked exceptional. Like, time was up on the clock, he's still running to the balls across the field, making these runs. And kind of, he ruled the game there in that midfield, and when Brian McGrath and John Maher were sweeping up in the half back line, they're ever, like, John Maher, say, one more breaking balls than anyone I've ever seen. Just read it so perfectly. Again, the breaks, we didn't win any breaks like that, but they're reading them. Again, we have to kind of step up and read the game better ourselves. But Kieran Connolly field ruled the roost for Loughmore, and looks, and that performance looks one that, like, a household name that could go on forward, give a lot and kind of Loughmore and county scene.
Yeah. And we said here last week about, we spoke about the goalkeepers, and the first goal for Sayers was a high ball into the square. Now, I'm not going to blame McGrath too much in the goals. The sun was in his eyes. It was a high dropping ball. Loughmore probably looked a little, if they were vulnerable anywhere, it was in the full back line, I thought.
Definitely, yeah, when you're looking at the two goals, look at McGrath. I wouldn't blame him for that. He seemed like he had the line of the ball and he was going to catch it, but Dennis, he just couldn't be held back by Joey Hennessy, and he got the flick onto it, and it was a nice goal, you'd have to say. And he made a good save for the second goal before Dennis got the rebound. But the full back line, yeah, Joey Hennessy had a very hard time with Dennis Maher early on, and Jesus, he nearly had a howler in the second half. But he just about redeemed himself. Sharp book out, yeah. But I thought John Maher dropped very deep in the second half in particular, and he was covering every breaking ball that happened there. Sayers kept going with the route one to the two boys for a good while, and John Maher was just mopping up ball there, particularly in the second half. He was cleaning up. So that kind of steadied the ship for Loughmore. But in fairness to Joey Hennessy, for that mistake he made, he made up for it big time, because that had been an absolute howler. That probably could have cost him the game. I think there were 2 points down at that stage, were there? 2 or 3 points down. Yeah. So, geez, that would have been hard to reel back at that stage. So, John Maher's he's just unreal as a club level. He was absolutely unbelievable in that game again.
Yeah, he sure was. Sean, Paddy Maher probably didn't have, with the season he's been having, he didn't have the best of games. But Ronan, I thought, especially in the first half, was outstanding. And we spoke about kind of Ronan dropping back and teams kind of hitting the ball to him, but that's the way it worked out, wasn't it? That first 15-20 minutes, Ronan seemed to be everywhere. He was on it. He was mopping up everything, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was catching ball galore. Loughmore, like that was a time in the game when Loughmore under pressure clearing the ball. We went a few good for turnovers in their half. The goal came from a turnover. Like, and when they got the ball in hand, then they just started clearing. Ronan was there. In the second half, probably mightn't have been as influential, but his free he got from under the centre front to me was, lads, like, he loved this in. And he cleared the net, did he? I say he's still landing Klein Hill here, to be honest. It was phenomenal free, like. So, again, the power, if you want uncharacteristic mistakes, two short puckouts, just straight to hand, just handling errors, like, you know, it's very unlike him, to be honest, you know, like. So, hopefully, kind of, them kind of small things, and at the end, he slipped that then going to the ball as well. So, that's very not like power. So, hopefully, for next day, he'll be good to go and kind of get it right again.
Yeah, the very last play of the game, which was out near the sideline, was it Lee McGrath had the ball on his hurley, but he had turned Paddy out in the middle of the field, but there was no way he was getting away from him. And I mean, if we're looking at our inter-county team and saying, geez, Paddy Maher is 32 or 33 years old, he's certainly not wanted for, he wasn't wanted for pace there at that.
It was Kieran Connolly, wasn't it?
Was it Connolly? Over there near the side.
He's twice as fast as Lee McGrath, so he's doing well to keep him.
Yeah, it was. He really there was no way he was getting away from it. It was a brilliant flick to dispossess him as well, wasn't it?
I kind of was fearing we'd foul there. We three lads running after McHurley's in there, like, catch it. So it's like, geez, don't let him hit this ball. And the flick over the sideline, and then the whistle went, and we're waiting fresh time, and didn't happen. And that was it. Like.
I suppose, look, from both, Noel McGrath was very animated at the final whistle there. I presume he felt that the sideline should have been given. But I think, in fairness, Conor Doyle had a great game as referee for the 65 odd minutes. And bear that last minute, possibly Paddy Creedon deserved a free there just in or around the 65. But then the ball went up the other side and it could have gone out over the line. So, look, I don't think anyone was was complaining when we have to go to a replay, these two brilliant teams, it'll be a cracker again in store in 2 weeks' time.
Brian McGrath looked fine, and Brian O'Neill looked to be hurling normal. Like, Bandit is not strapped up well in that, but didn't look to be hindered by too much in the first half. A few high balls came in and lads were pulling high and stuff, and he didn't look afraid even to put a hand up. As you know, he played very well as well, to be honest. So will he talk out in football the weekend, or will he rest for hurling? It's hard to know. Like, his football more in the tournament probably more harder, would it?
I'd say just give him another injection. I'd say that's what that improved the match the last day.
I would say Doz McGrath's Lochmore jersey, county final, there's nothing keeping him out. It doesn't matter what code it is they're playing.
Yeah. If he's playing a county final.
Going match, playing the fiddle in the flak here as well the weekend to score probably with one Thomas.
But the game itself, in the Sean spoke about Conley. Conley was outstanding, wasn't he? He was probably like John McGrath got man of the match, but we all know about John McGrath. But on a kind of a national stage on TG4, it was a good advertisement for Tipperary hurling. But Conley was outstanding, wasn't he?
He was class, yeah. And we were talking about the amount of energy he has and the pace he brings to it. But I remember his time with Tip under 21s and under 20s. I don't ever remember him being so clinical going for scores. Like, I don't think he hit a single wide. Did he score 2 or 3 points? He seems to be tailor-made to inter-county hurling at the minute, just the way he hurls as well. Even there in the 63rd minute when Paddy got the flick in, like, he got the ball around the half-back line, head down around the side, and he was going for it. He's got serious fitness, and he's hard to stop when he's at full steam. He was pivotal to them, really, in the whole game. He was probably their best player on the day. I'd say, I know John McGrath got man of the match, but I'd say Kieran Connolly was their best player on the day.
Yeah. He was phenomenal. Speaking of phenomenal, John McGrath, 5 man of the matches, Sean, in 5 weeks playing club game. It's serious going from the Lochmore man.
You just can't. You can't mark him or stop him. So even the first half, he dropped back there with like Brian McGrath under buckles, and he's winning him. And he's like, we'd let follow him. He just he's a way of doing it. It's, I don't know how he does it. Just exceptional, to be honest. It's kind of, you could try everything in the book, but he's just ever. He's able to pick the ball up in a rock score. His turn is unbelievable. Turn on 2 points. The ground wasn't the summer's day. It was soft ground. No, the conditions were good, but still he was turning, lads. And the first half, he turned 2 or 3 of our lads in front of me in the O's then and slotted it over. He just has something. Them McGraths just have something.
You said you were talking about Ronan striking there for that free, which was a huge one. But John McGrath hit one effortlessly as well there at one stage. There were two. I think it's Brian McDonald had him up on Twitter there. There were two incredible strikes, aren't they? I mean, talk about wrist work. There's no huge effort going into the strike. It's just all in the wrist.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and even John, the first half missed two uncharacteristic frees for him as well. He just sliced the balls, went miles right, which you never see him do. But from then on, I was like, oh, he has missed sort of way now. He's going to ping these over. And you say the one he got there was just a flick of the wrist. Like, if you give me a golf ball, I would have hit it as far, to be honest, with a driver.
I believe that, all right. I believe that.
the other, I suppose, standout player was, as you mentioned, in there was John Maher. Exceptional at centre back. Is there a role for John in Colin Bonner's county setup? Can we find a position that he will excel in?
It's hard to know. Like, he's been touted for Tip for, geez, must be going on 4, 5, 6 years at this stage, and with injuries and whatever else, he hasn't really got a proper look in. Like, when you're looking at the displays he's putting in for Lochmore at the minute, you're just thinking, like, he's plenty good enough to be hurling with the county. He just hasn't got a prolonged inclusion in the Tip team to be warranting starting for Tip. So he's definitely worth his place in the panel. You sent a message into the WhatsApp group and you're saying, is he more of a central player? And it's a fair point. I think I think he is. I think he's one of those players that just thrives in that area of the pitch. I don't think he's as effective at wing back. He's more of a ball. He's not going to go up the field and score points for you, but what he's going to do is he's going to win ball at the back and he's going to distribute it well. Mm. And at half back or at wing back in the inter-county game now, you need to be able to trot up the field and get scores. So, is he going to dislodge Ronan? Is he going to dislodge Ronan, as you're saying? It's hard to know.
Yeah,
could he play as a loose kind of cornerback role, getting breaks? Like, in the count level, there's no such thing as 5-4-3, you know? Under the ball, like.
Yeah, that could be a call, yeah.
Could you look at him playing like the Declan Hannan role for Limerick, where he kind of sits back nearly on top of the D and just reads, and he has that space then to move into it? Because like, Hannan, I suppose, really wouldn't have been seen as an inter-county centre-back, like, but they've developed, I suppose, a game plan that really suits his play, and then he anchors them, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he's unreal at that role. We've seen it last day when, after the first few minutes, when Dennis got the first two goals, like, he dropped and he was on every break. And it's not as simple as him just getting on the ball. He's reading the game. Every time the ball was breaking, he was just on top of the ball and he got it up first time and he was coming out with the ball. Definitely something worth looking at. Look, he's going to have to get a few games with the way he was playing. Yeah. Colin Bonner has to be looking at him and going, right, if I can translate this into the tip setup, like, he'd be a great asset for us. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. Young Guns, Sean, how did you think Young Stakelam went in his first county final? Did he stand out for you?
Probably wasn't influential in the Clyne game, but still he was on the ball. He's lethal in the first half. The ball is probably not going down his side as much. And he's on the side of Paddy Creedon as well. He kind of played under the stand a lot there. But when he can kind of get on, he's all right. Like, he'd be good to go again. Paddy Creedon as well, Marsh, like, look back down the second half there. Decline in, and Loughmore had one lad in front, one lad behind him. And like, as strong as Paddy is, it's hard to get through two lads and win the ball. And then you John Meredith coming in, mopping up, like, so it was kind of Loughmore, the game plan set on him, and it worked. Like, so hopefully we can kind of try something next year, maybe mix it up a bit there. But them two lads will worry to start again, no problem starting them, anyway.
Yeah, Jack Derby is one that I've always been impressed with since I saw him as a minor. But he kind of found himself out around the middle of the field on Sunday, and I don't think that suited him. He might have been better off kind of falling back into the full back line, I suppose.
Yeah, he went out, kind of brought on my field to kind of secure up it, but maybe he caught in a kind of loose balls going forward, and it wouldn't be a natural kind of end up in half hour line a bit on loose breaking balls, and it didn't fall to him right. So again, he had a good half there in the first half back line, or even deeper again. His size is phenomenal under high balls. So, but that's something we learn. We work on it for next. Like, he might not make that switch again. We're out in the middle of the field. He had to try something on Connolly. Like, he was just... Mm-hmm. No matter who he put on Connolly, to be honest, I think he would have played the game of his life on it.
Yeah. Looking forward now, the replay is down for the 28th. It's going to be live on TG4 again, I believe. But in between, Loughmore will have to... They have the, this weekend against Commercials in the football, whereas Stars are going to be at home in the recovery zone. Who is it going to suit more? I know we always say this about Loughmore, but as you go into what, week 16 or week 17 of a run, it does have to come against you at some stage, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Look, we wouldn't be as familiar with it, obviously, like playing a hardcore championship match week on week, like it catches up on everyone. Obviously, look, they're used to it at this stage. We've said that 100 times, but like, the body can only take so much, really. But in fairness to them, like, aren't they unreal that they don't really pick up too many injuries from all these matches that they're playing? I don't think they've had a player missing through injury the whole year, to be honest, which means they're doing something right, whatever it is. I'd love to find out what it is, but it's going to be more of an advantage for Turles, there's no doubt about it. Not only Loughmore playing the extra match, but they've a couple of weeks to get their house in order. And as I was saying earlier, like, they're not going to have that many players playing poorly again. I think Stephen Cattle was poor enough compared to the standards he set himself earlier. Paddy Creedon was out of the game. Just lads that were key for them getting to the county final. And as well as that, they had a lot of lads playing in their first county final. So you'd imagine that match will stand to them as well. So it's probably going to be advantage for Turles the next day. Maybe Loughmore have missed their chance, maybe.
What about that chance, mate? And Tracy is just giving you the kiss of death. He's tipping you for the replay.
No, I don't think we ever tipped winners right here. We'll get to that later on. But again, like,
I just want to say for the record as well, I was gonna back the draw, and you were slagging me so much over the last few months.
Did you actually back the draw?
No, I didn't. Know.
Yeah. Well,
Just something there on Loughmore, and they said, like, their training condition must be exceptional. And injuries do get, or kind of injuries aren't from train over. It's not hamstrings or thighs. It's always like broken thumbs or broken. That's from it's going to battle. They're just like as Enda said, and how I know how to stay going. Like it's insane to be honest.
Their conditioning, their injury prevention and their condition is just exceptional. And that probably comes from playing the games week in, week out, and then obviously keeping themselves right in the off season. But I think it was Anthony was saying there that the Loughmore lads, like they're a small club and all that, but about 12 or 13 of them have come through inter-county setups and panels. So like they're by every one of their players are absolutely talented, you know, and they know exactly how to look after themselves and what's required of training. So it's not just this case of oh they're a great club, blah blah blah. These guys are extremely talented.
And it's a serious advantage that they always have the same management for both codes, and that there's no chopping and changing. They're trying to drag out lads to come train this night and play this match, so they're perfectly tailored to go between the codes. I'd say they don't train like any other club team in the county. Just you know the early season flogging, they know they just build into it, play the matches and build up the fitness that way, which would be great, wouldn't it, for every club. Like you want to be playing matches to get the fitness up. Isn't that going to get you fitter than any other training session? Like,
The best money you spent out in Loughmore is probably an ice bath and a sauna or something for their recovery. But anyway, as we said, that replay goes ahead on the 28th, and again, it's another one to look forward to. The other two games, the other two big finals the weekend that saw Temple Derry and. Come through in the Seamus Arreen final. We were probably expecting a better game, but quite a good first half, 10 points each at halftime, but Temple Derry ran out 10 points winners in the second half. And that man, Sean Ryan, Sean again, I believe.
Yeah, and the first half was pretty scrappy. I think there was a lot of stoppages, particularly in the first quarter, a lot of balls going over the sideline and just general stoppages hitting wides and Kilnall kept it tight. There was a lot of forward talent in that Temple Derry team, which they were conscious of, I'd say. And, you know, they kept it very tight. Probably you're unlucky not to be ahead going into the second half. But, geez, once Temple Derry cut loose in the second half, they completely blitzed them. Audrey Murphy had a serious game there midfield. Shawnee was good enough. He got the goal. was a big moment in the match. But, you know, once their forwards got an eye in Adrian Ryan, Aina Murray, Gerard Ryan had a great game. He was out around midfield there. He had a right good game. They just have, as I was saying in the preview last week, they have too many lads to keep track of, too many good players.
Yeah, the introduction of Brian Stapleton seemed to kind of, I won't say turn the game, but it certainly added to it. I mean, he got 3 points from play. That was a big return from a sub, wasn't it?
Yeah, they've been doing that all year with Brian. He was injured in the early stages of the year, and I think they probably settled on, look, we'll spring in the second half when the game is still in the melting pot and you can make a difference. He done that in most of the games he played in, to be fair. That's a great player to be bringing off the bench, Brian Stapleton. Like, he's got so much experience and he's a quality hurler as well. So, look, Temple Derry have been knocking on the door a good few years and they finally got there, and it's usually the case we've seen with Tip in 2010 that you've been knocking on the door a few years and eventually you end up going over the line by an extra few metres with scores and stuff. So, I'm delighted for Temple Derry. They're a great club there and they're a small club and they have serious talent in their team for the pick that they have at the minute. So it's great to see them getting back up to the top, yeah.
Yeah, that I think that makes 8 North teams, does it, in Dan Breen, I think, for next year, which will, I suppose, tidy up their knockouts in that they'll have 4 quarterfinals. But I suppose the knock-on effect now is that the South don't have Kilnall, by virtue of Kilnall not winning, the South don't have a Dan Breen South Championship next year, and that's probably very disappointing for that division, isn't it?
It is, but they've been with that disappointment for the last few years, haven't they? Just not knowing, like before Mullinhone got promoted, we didn't think they'd have a senior club there, so I'd say they're well used to it at this stage, but it's Kilnall, they didn't look likely ever to win the match, really. They've been, I think that's their level, maybe top four in the Seamus Arreen, well, Premier Intermediate, sorry, going forward. So I think Bubbles, they didn't get enough of a tune out of Bubbles, I think, on the day, and they just couldn't get the scores elsewhere. So, and they'll be disappointed, all right.
Yeah, see, they bring Kieran Bergen, did he come on there in the second half, and probably need a little more underage talent maybe coming through. I think they're struggling at 19 and 21. I thought I read somewhere right for numbers, so they probably need some new talent to help those lads, don't they, coming through.
100%, yeah, 100%. In fairness, they've had a core group of players there for the last 10 years that have been very good, and I think maybe it's kind of papering over the general level of talent that they've had there in the past 20 or 30 years. Maybe just wonder everyone's concentrating on that one group of players, but you need to have them coming on stream constantly from underage to beef that out. Like, you can't be one set of players maybe go for 5 or 6 years, but you need to have lads coming on stream constantly to keep that level up. Like,
yeah, yeah. And going into next year, do you think Temple Derry have what it takes to consolidate, I suppose, in Dunbreen going into next year?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. Especially when you get that usual bounce from promoted teams, don't you, at different grades. And just on paper, they're as good as a lot of teams in Dunbreen. There's no doubt about that. And they tend to play their best stuff against teams that they're not fancy to beat. I know that, look, they won the competition this year, but the last few years they've been favourites against teams, and they haven't done the business. So I think they'll go in without any hang-ups, and they'll probably be very competitive, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah. Just something that came up in the last 2 weeks, just getting a little bit off topic, but it's to do with this and teams that are promoted. What do you think of teams being promoted kind of getting an amnesty in year one that they can't be relegated? Do you think that would... Is that something you'd be in favour of, or do you think, like, I hate to see teams going yo-yo and, you know, up and down within 12 months. I don't think that does them any good. What would you think of that scenario?
Would they improve with nothing to play for then, if you're going into a year and you're like, we're not going to get relegated? Okay, so we won't try and improve because we know that no matter what way the matches go, we're not going to be going down the level. I think there has to be that fear of relegation as well. Yeah. Teams to improve, like, that
would
be my thought.
Yeah, Sean?
Maybe something I find when a team kind of goes, when drops one grade, they seem to fall and tip for some reason. I'm not sure what it is. Like, if we could prevent that, maybe so, or even something to prevent teams dropping two grades in 2 years or something, but okay, that could be something for another day. But there is, I hate seeing teams that go down, they tumble, they end up junior, like, and they were senior club a few years ago, like, so.
Yeah. Very good. The last game of, or well, it was actually the first game of the weekend, but it was the one, a very important game in the intermediate. Doubt Us Now is words that have been resounding out of the parish of Mind 102 towards this podcast. I don't know where they're coming from. You seem to have irked. We must be getting a medal. We seem to be the inspiration behind Mind 102 winning the intermediate with the amount of messages that we were getting on the social media pages. But
and we tipped them at the start of the year. Like, every year we tip them as the strongest team in the week. Like, there's no, like,
I don't know. Was it Sean Smith?
There was a picture up on the dressing room wall, wasn't there?
Of Sean Smith. You were getting a bit of grief. Doubt us now. But anyway, lads, this was probably the pick of the games of the weekend for me. I thought it was a cracker of a game there Saturday afternoon. Kilsheelan, very unlucky. Mine, while well-deserving winners, were probably lucky to come away with a victory, weren't they?
Don't be saying lucky, Mike. They'll be on to you again now.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a tight match. We kind of all predicted that. I think the two, you went for mine by a point and I went for Kilsheelan by a point. And to be fair, like, either result.
Oh, it was you. You were the one Doubt Us.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. But I was on that fence, like I usually am. I should have went for a draw now in hindsight. but it was very tight. Barry Keogh had a chance there near the end where he was going through the 21, and he took his point. Like, there was a goal on there. Very easily could have taken it, and that could have swung the result. So there was nothing in that game.
Yeah, I think number 7, Billy O'Connor, he dropped one in at the end and might have been better off shooting because the whistle kind of went with 10 seconds after. And if he did, I suppose, look, it would have been a difficult one, but just one maybe he should have gone for, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe so. But they're fine margins, aren't they? But, it's good to see mine winning it all the same because, like Temple Derry, they've been knocking on the door a long time, and they're probably good enough to be up another level, to be fair.
Yeah, they were very unlucky I suppose, whatever it was, 5 or 6 years ago again, Sean, that time we didn't put any teams through to Munster, and mine were actually a team that missed out. The intermediate final was played the same day as they should have been playing in Munster, but they played very well, and Bo was very good in the middle of the field, but O'Connor, I think he scored 112, 19, or 9 points from frees, 1-3 from play. An excellent return for him.
Yeah, and we did say there last week, like it was up, like they had Grode O'Connor and Bo, that firepower, and when you have Grode O'Connor banging over 112, 1-4 whatever from play, like that's phenomenal, ruling the roost. They only had, I think, 4 scores overall in the game, was it? Grode O'Connor, Bo, Hammer, was it? Yes. I've got one, I think, as well. But you know, like, so they got Grode O'Connor there doing in trouble. So they owe him this for sure. But he's like, he stood up and just went to help Fletcher with it.
Yeah. That was some goal at the start of the second half.
Yeah, as good a goal as you see, isn't it? This year, like, Bo won the throw in and took off and just handed it off to O'Connor. It was a cracking goal. And it obviously was the one that probably won it for them, but that 10 seconds after half time was so important, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, to get the ball rolling in the right direction, and it was a right good match. You feel bad for Kilsheelan, like they really contributed to a good match, and geez, Mark Yeo got some great scores as well, and they're very evenly matched teams. Like, so whoever from mine was slating, it's like I don't know whatever you were smoking, it's been good.
The drinking Quinlan's has been good now. To be fair, I've been out there myself.
There's vodka
in the ice, I think, or something. There's definitely something.
We're speaking of Garrod O'Connor. His marker was Paul Maher, who had an exceptional game for Kilsheelan in the 60 minutes. He was everywhere, wasn't he?
He's a very good player, isn't he? At that level, and he's very experienced as well. He was on the panel a few years ago, wasn't he? Senior panel. But yeah, he had a right good game, and it's not really a fair reflection of him if you're looking at the match report. Look, Grode O'Connor was on him, and he scored this much, and you know, it can just tell you how far stats can go. But he was on the ball an awful amount, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, I thought he was brilliant. Mm. He seemed to bring he was kind of the heartbeat of the Kilsheelan team. He brought everything out, and he made them take kind of set the tone for them, didn't he? I mean,
Mark Yeo was. What did you think of Mark Yeo's effort? He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he played very well. Obviously, well marshalled as well. He was kind of the one to, I suppose, to mark in the Kilsheelan forward line. But yeah, I thought he was very well. Scored 3 points. They two or three points. Thought they were
5 points.
Was it five? Yeah,
five.
A couple of excellent scores in it now, and their free taker Gibbs was he was unerring as well, wasn't he? You know. Goes to show at that level. Well, I suppose at all levels, having a good free taker is huge.
Yeah, it's vital. Yeah, vital.
Like Kilsheelan will be around that level now. Like this, you fancy to win them again, win an extra, get to final. Like, so they should be up next couple of years of players they have coming through. To be honest, no. So that was saying losing on win one or whatever.
The competitiveness of that grade was that Kilsheelan were in relegation last year. You know, and turned it around and were so close to winning.
Is that based on their football though? Does it depend on the year that they're in it, that they're putting more emphasis on one or the other?
I don't know, because I wouldn't say they put any more emphasis on either of the codes this year. They were only beaten by the 19th quarter final of the football, you know, so they very easily could have been in a semi-final, and they were already in the hurling final at that stage. So I wouldn't say that comes into it. I think they're themselves and the Brackens are kind of taking on the Loughmore model of just going out every week and playing their games week on week.
Yeah, that'll be Sarah's in 10 years, won't it, Mike?
Oh yeah. Very disappointing result in doing a football there.
Will you donate the few footballs, will you? When you have the old ladies football or size 5s, so we have size 4 if you want.
Very good. So yeah, so that's Mindham Dewey up to Seamus O'Rean or Premier. They're gone from intermediate to Premier Intermediate now for next year. I don't know, is that an upwards or a sideways move, but time will tell. And we wish them all the best in their Munster campaign, which is on the 28th as well. I think it's out versus Kilmiley of Kerry. I see Bob Egan was giving out about the coverage in in Temple Dewey, so he must be planning on making a trip on the 28th. This weekend
we'll lock him in the tiles out there again. We'll get a few boys locked through doors. No covers ring anyone.
That only happens in Port Leash or Port Darlington. We spoke about it last weekend, the announcement of the Miller Shield, lads. It starts this weekend. We won't spend too much time on it now. But the panels were just after being released. And the first game up is the North versus the South. It's on at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. Inda, what do you make of that North line out? Anyone missing that you think should be there?
I'd be surprised that Jack Delaney didn't get on it. Or maybe he was asked. You know, it's hard to know if there was a lot of lads asked and they just turned it down. But I thought Jack's been very good for us for a few years. Probably our main forward. Look, there's a few Temple Derry lads that'll have sore heads sitting on the bench the next day. See Lee McCutcheon, his wing back there. He was pretty good the last day as well for them centre back, and he's had a pretty good year. He's young as well, so he has plenty of potential. It seems like they've tried to beef it out a bit, where they're struggling for players with Barry Heffernan playing, Brian Hogan. You'd imagine that they would have given time to lads that maybe wanted to get a look in with the management, rather than lads that are in training and stuff like that. So it's a pretty good team all the same, all things considered. But I'm surprised there's a few lads missing. Dan O'Mara as well, Kildangan. I thought he'd have definitely got a look in. He's been very good for Kildangan for a few years, and he's plenty of potential.
Is he playing with Ballina in the junior football though, maybe? Is that why he's missing this weekend?
You could be right, actually. Yeah, he's on football, isn't he? Yeah. The under-21s kind of probably see more lads added to all the panels really after the first round of fixtures with the under-21 being straight knockout.
Yeah. Brian Hogan probably wants to play in the goal since he doesn't get any time between the six for Lara. So I suppose he sees this as an opportunity to maybe get some practice in. I don't know, I'm only guessing. Andrew Ryan was in around the panel with Sheedy. Was he there for a while? I think as well. So
he'd have trained a bit, yeah. He's been a fairly consistent performer for us, Lockie, in fairness, for the last... Geez, he's probably been one of our better players now the last 4 or 5 years. He's a real leader on our team. But he's 29, like the same age as myself. So you'd wonder, has the ship sailed for him? Josh McCarthy had a very good year for his cornerback, in fairness to him. I actually think he'd probably be better at wing-back on midfield, but in fairness, he was in the corner this year for us, and he's probably our best player all year. So it's good to see him get a chance. Jerry Kelly as well, this is a big chance for him. And there's been a lot of rumblings about him getting a chance after the All-Ireland run a few years ago with Burris. So he'll have to be impressing, you'd imagine, if he has any aspirations of getting on that tip panel, because there's loads of ability on the tip panel at the minute. It's going to be hard to break into it.
Yeah, and 2 years ago when Burris were going well, it was this time of year, and I suppose the underfoot conditions are probably something that would suit Jerry at this time. And then obviously he has the hurling to go with it.
Yeah, that's definitely the one thing holding him back is his pace. And he's conditioning a bit. Maybe people will be giving out to me for that, but like in the modern game, you have to be able to move. That's 9/10 of the law now, really, mobility and being able to travel with the ball. So like he's hurling, there's nobody questioning his hurling ability. He's a right good hurler, but he just has to bring that on as well.
Yeah, and two names that I suppose everyone will be aware of and that will be looking forward to: Alan Tynan down there to play in the middle of the field, and Billy Seymour at 14. They're two guys that we probably really want and need to step up and look for a jersey, don't we?
Definitely, yeah. Billy has serious potential there, full forward. Alan Tynan's been excellent this year with Ross Gray. He was playing centre forward for them, and he's been scoring very heavy. He's scoring at 1-3, 1-4 a match. And he's tailor made for the modern game. He's a serious athlete. From his time in with Munster, he's in serious condition, and he's got pace to burn. And his hurling has come on a good bit as well. He hadn't hurled in a few years, when he was at Munster, and he came back last year at the start of the year, and his hurling was a bit dodgy, but you can see over time that he's starting to get the eye back in, and he's been playing very well. I'd be expecting him to play well now for North Tip.
Very good. The South team then, anchored, I suppose, by a couple of Mullinahone lads, Owen Finley there at centre-back and Colin Shelley at cornerback, both hurled very well for Mullinahone. In the championship, and they've Jack Shelley there in the forwards. I think he scored 2-8 in one of the games. So it's they'll be interesting. An interesting one there, Barry Cooney, South Liberties, wing forward. Where did that one after coming out of?
After coming out of Limerick, apparently.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I never heard of him.
I'm just waiting for it. Always transferring to the Sarah's jokes, but at least it's South Tip, not too bad. So.
But it wouldn't make any difference. You do take him from the South as well in the past. You know, so
let him in first then.
Dylan Walsh, been going very well for Ballingarry over the last number of years, was very good minor for Tip. And then you've the two Dwyers there from Killinall now. How fit they'll be after last weekend. But it's a good opportunity, as you said, for players, isn't it, to stand up?
Definitely is, yeah. Killinall Dwyer was on the panel a few years ago. Probably came into the panel a bit early. He was very young when he went in, and he probably wasn't as developed as he is now physically. Kieran O'Dwyer was actually one of Killinall's better players in the Oireann final. He was very impressive. GC scored a sideline there at one stage. I think it was a serious effort. Aaron Dunn as well. Colin was always raving about him when he was on the podcast. He's meant to be a very good hurler. I think I've only seen him hurl once under 21 when we played him in a county semi-final. But Jack Shelley and Colin Shelley are probably the two main lads they'd be looking at there. Maybe Dylan Walsh. He's been playing one for Ballingarry for a long time, and he was good with Tip underage. So, it's a pretty decent team, yeah.
Yeah, interesting game. 11 o'clock in Holy Cross, is it?
That's right, yeah. Saturday morning, yeah.
Saturday morning. The other one sees the mid and the west. That's a 1:15 in Littleton. Sean, the mid team, obviously there's no Sarahs, Loughmore, Drum, who are in the football intermediate finals. So I suppose, could you say depleted, but certainly some good young hurlers there. Interesting, the two McCarkey men in the middle of the field are two that stand out for me. I always like watching Max Hackett. They think he's a very good hurler, and Jack Morrissey beside him. They're two fine lads that need to be looked at.
Yeah, like them two McCarthy lads are probably two kind of first ones on the list we kind of put together ourselves, even saying who may be in, you know. So, but in a kind of lose, maybe the mine lads aren't there either as well, you know. So they're probably could be 6-7 maybe onto that to make a stronger game. But this is a chance for these lads to kind of step in now that might have got kind of a look in maybe only for lads are out, so if they put their hand up now, there's kind of a few players there that it's hard, like Barrett in centre back, he's kind of probably in just to kind of beef up a bit, maybe just to kind of get someone in. You presume he's in Tip's top 20 at the moment, anyway, wouldn't you? Like, there's no, you know, so Leonard Fairbrother has been around the block a bit, you know, so interesting how he go corner forward. Dar Woods, the same kind of has been there, see how he go again. But these guys are getting a chance, like, and drop against the West team again, there's a good few. Yeah, Owen Connolly, their middle of field with West, Shaw Brown, centre forward. No, so they have kind of names have been around a while, and Dylan Quirk for Connolly is down as number 7, actually, which is a strange one, half back there.
What they make won All Ireland at wing back with Liam Cahill, so it's not a position that's alien to him alien at to all. Him, yeah.
Andrew Ormond, there will be expecting a good game from him. He seems like he has the potential to make the step up, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. He's been doing it even. He's exceptional at school level, kind of young underage level, and he comes in a few senior games, he does it. But he's centre forward there, so kind of that's kind of they're throwing him in there saying, hey, for good enough here, lead our attack, and you know, and hopefully will. He's a Fionn Cleary there, one side from Curtin Hoo. So, you know, Curtin Hoo are even getting looking, kind of says the level there after kind of coming up from winning the intermediate last year. So, you know, it's good to see clubs in it that mightn't have got lucky in other years and have lads trialing out in the military.
Yeah, Ormond was probably the standout forward, was he, in the himself and Devin Ryan in the 20s there last year. Ormond looked very dangerous at corner forward. And I think there was even some lads calling for him to go straight into the senior setup with the way he had played in those 20 games. He was excellent, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. And was he injured a bit last year? No, was the year before, maybe, was it? I'm trying to think. He wasn't around for it. Could have been, maybe, but you know, he's getting his chance, and like you said, them lads like Devin Ryan, them, they're going to every chance this weekend, and for sure, like there's a few lads in that mid team that would be kind of in on a block anyway if they don't form this week, like find your armor, they'll get go again. Like, there's no two ways about that.
This game probably has the two young form goalkeepers in Tip. Aaron Brown is in the goal for the West, and Reece Shelley in the goal for McCarthy. And I suppose, look, we're always looking for kind of upgrades in the goalkeeping department, because we haven't settled on, I suppose, on a keeper. Barry Hogan is holding the number one shirt, but Reece and Aaron were both on the 20s there last year. Two very good young goalkeepers. Be interesting to see how they go as well, won't it?
Yeah, and Reese's puckouts are like rockets, man. He's very good in the puckouts, I ain't never seen, you know. So like we need goalies. Like over the years, we always talking about who our second, third choice goalie would be, and the same few names around. So like there's one position in Tip and in clubs around the county where goalies is one major issue. So like we need to start securing goalies. So like, you know, Aidan Moran to go to Slackmore the weekend, and Sarah's goalie is Paddy Mack, who's been there as long as I can remember. So you know it is kind of one position where if these are step up. Aaron Brown has been good in terms of with cash as well, and his handling as well. They're skillful goalies nowadays as well. They're not like the big lads that are just in stop shots. They're well able to get the ball or breaks back to them and ping puck outs.
Yeah.
He's been scoring heavy for them as well, hasn't he, Reece Shelley? He's a good free taker. Like yeah. He comes up for the penalties as well, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah. Strike ball strike is unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah, he's a ball man, isn't on him, hasn't he? From puck outs and from frees. Simon. Was it the minor final against Arbor Rovers there last year? I think he scored nearly the majority of my Carkey scores that day when they lost the 5 point to Arbor Rovers. But two interesting games anyway, lads, at the weekend, 11 o'clock in Holy Cross and 1:15 in Littleton.
And hey, Mike, tell us about this West team. Tell us about it. Are you happy with it?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I think if we go back to kind of the team. Was it 12 months ago now? We kind of did something similar along those lines, and a lot of those lads would have been in the picks. Full back line is very young. Robert Doyle is there only out of minor, but he's a very impressive minor at full back for Tip there last year, and he actually went straight into the Clonoulty team at full back this year, which would have been strange for them. And then Johnny Ryan and Paul Devlin. Paul Devlin has been very good for Airog this year. Played out around the half back line midfield and very sticky cornerback. And then Johnny Ryan, as we all know, has I'm not sure whether cornerback is his position. I like to see him further out the field, but he has played cornerback previously. I think this year in the 20s he was picked early on.
I think he's very good on the field because he can score as well. Like, but could he play cornerback, kind of a loose kind of cornerback coming forward as well? You know, that's
I always thought Cahill got the best out of him when he played him kind of a wing forward, and then but he never played a wing forward. He was out in the middle of the field, disrupting. Yeah. He's the type of guy that he does exactly what you ask him to do. I mean, if you told him to run up and down the wall 10 times, that's exactly what he's going to do. You know? and I suppose that was the beauty of Cahill's management style. It suited Johnny Ryan, you know. So, but look, he's a fine hurler, and I look forward. Niall Heffernan is another very good season with Golden. At half back and was coming up and getting scores for them. And Owen Connolly then is one, I think he's exceptional. I really think he's one that can step up into the Tip team. And when he does, it'll probably be in the half back line or full back line. But he's picked at midfield, I think, for the weekend. But he can do it. He's able.
What do you think of Dylan Quirk wing back? Is he trying to tell Bonner he'd be better there than maybe up in the forwards?
Yeah, maybe so. It's an interesting one. I think from a Clonoulty point of view, it's an interesting one as well, because Timmy Hammersley has transferred now, and he has been the kind of the linchpin scoring wise for Clonoulty for Jesus 15 years now. So they are going to need somebody to step into that region. I would have thought that Dylan was that guy, you know. But maybe he's easy. I think he got on the Cadbury's team at the 21s that time when he played wing back.
He was very good, yeah.
Maybe he just sees that that's his best option of getting into. Like, I mean, we saw him, a couple of times coming on for Tip, and didn't really set the world on fire bare that first game against Waterford in 2019 and got 4 or 5 points, wasn't it, from play. But
maybe better facing the ball than when he's back to the goals.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a position I would say he played ever. Underage for Clonoulty, but it was a Cahill's under 20 team or 21 team that picked him at wing back and he revelled in it. Jack Ryan there, another Clonoulty man playing wing forward, his son of Declan's, very good free taker. He's got a goal there at the end against was it against Yee? Did he get a goal against Yee finishing up against Tumi
there? Yeah, definitely 21
year free, good striker of the ball. Devin Ryan then. Obviously, corner forward. He's another one. I think is one that has something to offer at intercounty level. I think he was the pick of the 20s this year. some people would say his size, but I think it's I think his hurling will get him through the majority of games. He's a great great ability. Player, Jer Brown then Jer probably maybe needs to get back to the form he was at 3 years ago when he was the under 21 player of the year. But look, it'd be good to see him back at this level and try and force his way back into that tip setup. And obviously playing for Cashin now and Colm have with his Cashin connections, it's one that he'll be able to keep an eye on. So yeah, I wouldn't be. It's a decent enough team. A couple of good young guys there: Jack Leamy, Conor Dwyer, and on the bench, Mikey Winnie. They hurling up a storm there for Clonoulty in the middle of the field during the championship. So it'd be, I wouldn't mind seeing him get a run there in this. Whether he can make that step up to Colin Bonner's 34 is another day of the week. But look, they have to start here, don't they? I suppose.
Yeah.
Anything else, lads, in the world of GA before we finish up?
No, just going to say on the north for the weekend. I'd say we're going to win it out pretty easily. what do you think, Mike?
The Miller Shield, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're playing the South team that have a Limerick man playing. It wouldn't be the first Limerick man to play for a South team either, right? But if you want to start going down that route with the Miller Shield, that's fine by me.
I'm clutching at straws, Mike. I haven't had much to celebrate recently, hurling nights. So yeah, it'd be great for the trophy to come back, or the shield to come back to North Tip.
Is there actually a shield for this?
I don't know, to be honest.
Is there a captain on either team? No.
No, but it was actually good to see they're saying that there's going to be a fundraiser at the gate, Mike, for the
The proceeds are going to Skull Cormac in Cashel. Mm-hmm. I think there's over 200 students attending that school, and there's no pay on the gate, but there will be buckets and donations to be made on the day, and I think it's very worthwhile cause. Sean, I think you have a bit of experience. Do you work in, or you know people that were working?
Yeah, friends of mine are teaching there, and all their finest the work to do is exceptional, finest sake, and it's kind of one of the schools is covering such a broad area, like, so it is great cause. Like, they need all the money here because funding is just not there, because even I see teachers that work here are buying ties and stuff themselves for the kids, like, you know, so to the worthy cause.
Hopefully there'll be big crowds, and I'll be at it anyway. I'm excited for it, to be honest. It's something new, isn't it? Well,
yeah, exactly.
Something hasn't happened for a long time, and it's novel, really, isn't it?
It'll get people talking as well. Like, you know, the way lads saying, oh, I just wonder what he'd be like with Tip now. Well, you'll see him in the flesh, and if he farms, Banner have to look at him, like.
Yeah, and I think they've cast the net far and wide. I think anyone that was that could hurl at Adult Devil got a call, you know. So I mean, if you're asking why this lad isn't in there, well, the reason is he probably didn't want to be in there himself or whatever, you know. So certainly has done. Colin Bonner has cast the net wide, and it'd be interesting to see who comes out of it. Hopefully, look, they do pick up one or two. I think I saw somewhere that Niall Scully, the Dublin footballer, he came out of a kind of a games like this. You know the way Dublin play their all blue All Stars games on a Stephen's Day. That's where he came out of, and he now has four All Ireland. So, right, folks, we're joined here on the Premier View by Tipperary football PRO Anthony Shelley. You're very welcome, Anthony.
Thanks, Mike.
So, Anthony, this weekend, big weekend in the football calendar in Tipperary, as we have five county finals to look forward to. Probably would have had the other two, only there's crossover in teams. But the big game of the weekend sees, I suppose, the two form football teams over the last couple of years, Clonmel Merchants and Loughmore Castellini, have two in the stadium on Sunday, a repeat of last year's epic. A good game in store?
Absolutely. Anytime these two meet, it's a good game. I think maybe it was 2019, Borlam was an absolute cracker between the two. Went extra time, and then last year in the stadium, I think there was only a point in it at the end, and they really can't be separated. Clonmel have come out on top for the last few years, but always only by a point or two. And I'm not expecting any different on Sunday, except I couldn't tell you who'll come out on top. It's just one. I've thought about it all week, and I just can't separate them. You know,
they both had very, very close semi-finals. Lochmore only won their quarter-final and semi-final by a point over My Rovers last day in the semi-final, 1-8, 1-7. And then Commercials over your own Brackens, they scraped over the line in what was a very good game by four points in the end. Probably a lot closer than I suppose many people would have thought.
It was. I thought our lads were very, very good in the day. And, you know, in fairness to Commercials, you know, we gave them both a character examination and a footballing examination. And, you know, they'd be happy enough that they passed the character examination with honours, but probably would be a little bit disappointed with how they actually played. They seem to be a bit spooked by our sweeper system, and they were very slow on their build-up. Like, and you know, they relied on a lot of points from distance. So they'd be disappointed enough. But I think, to be fair, like, I mean, you know, maybe it was our lads didn't let them play. We were actually exceptional on the day. And, you know, we lost by four, and that's as much as we should have lost by. We didn't deserve to lose by any more, and possibly could have been closer. And, you know, coming up to the second water break, they needed the water break, I suppose, like a boxer needs a bell at times. You know, we had them rattled. It was back to 2 points, and we were well on top. And then the water break came, and they were able to regroup after that. And, you know, they got a goal to put them 6 points up, but we replied nearly immediately. With a stunning goal from Shane Doyle, from Chip the keeper, from 45, 50 yards. It was a brilliant goal. But Ferris Commercials, you know, they didn't panic and seen it out in the end. But yeah, they would possibly go home thinking they had a bit of work to do. But maybe that's an ideal way to win a semi-final. You know, you'd say you didn't play as well, but you didn't play well, but you won, and you left a bit of work to, you know, a little bit to work on for the final, because, you know, that guards against complacency as well, because up until that, they had kind of moonwalked their way through the championship. They beat Arvel by a ridiculous amount, and the same with, who else did they play in that?
Care.
No, it wasn't Care. Art Finnan. And the same there. So, and then my car could give him a walkover. So I suppose there may have been a need of the game as well, like, you know, because they had no test up to that. But, you know, they certainly got it from us. And
they played the Church in the quarter final, actually. And there was only a point in it, I think, at half time. Was it 1-5?
Yeah, it was a bit of a win. There was probably, you know, there was 2 points in it at half time, but there was a bit of a win. But then a scoring blitz at the start of the second half, I think they got 1-6 in 8 minutes, and, you know, that was it. Yeah. They ended up 15-point winners in the end. Like, so I think up to the time of the Brackens game, I think they'd won their three games by a combined total of 68 points or something like that. So they needed that game against the Brackens, you know.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, the Lochmore Mile Rovers game in the other semi-final, that was another cracking game. And, you know, the last 10 minutes was as exciting as you'll ever see. Like, and, you know, people would say the quality wasn't that good up to that, but it had been hard hitting. It was a proper game of football. There was heavy belts, and, you know, there was no quarter given or asked. And you know, my Rovers had two or three chances that they would have been disappointed in injury time to win the game. You know, they went for a goal at one stage, I think, and they possibly should have tipped it over the bar. Mm-hmm. Now, Lochmore at the same time, maybe their chances weren't as clear cut, but they had a few half chances as well, like, to in injury time as well. Like, Lochmore didn't want extra time, obviously. Shawnee played, the clock in the grounds was showing 7 minutes, so people were a bit amused by that, but it hadn't been stopped for the second half water break, so it was actually only 5 minutes to play. Like, you know, so people were getting, was he ever going to blow it, like, you know.
Yeah.
So it looked like the one stage Lochmore didn't want extra time, or Shawnee didn't want extra time, but you know, he did a fine job, as he normally does, in fairness to him, like, you know. And Lorcan Egan, of all people, the cornerback, he might, I'm not sure if I ever remember him scoring before, but he popped up and on the end of a move and kept his head to hand pass it over the bar to get them through. But it was, you know, typical Lochmore. They kept going till the end, And there was a small bit of silliness with about 10 minutes to go that people were, a small bit of handbags broke out, like, and people were saying that that was the changing of the game. And I don't know if it was, you know, there was really nothing in it. But it did disrupt my Rovers just for a minute or two. But they settled down again after it and went 3 points up again. So, like, you know, I think Lochmore in the end, you know, they took their chances, my Rovers didn't. And when that happens, you come out to deserve winners, don't you?
Yeah. Much will be made and much has been made of, I suppose, the schedule that the Lochmore guys have had to put up with. I won't say put up with, that they have been involved in over the last number of weeks. I think it's 14, is it now, on the trot. But, I mean, Commercials, I suppose, weren't too far away from that, as in any of their players that were playing with St. Mary's went to the semi-final of the Seamus O'Regan. So they would have been training hard and playing games week on week as well. But going into the final...
And their younger players are in the... They're in the under-19 county final, and they were in the Hurling county final as well with St. Mary's. And they've got scattering of them as well, particularly among the subs. So, you know, they wouldn't have been together as a full unit too often, it says, either. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, just going into the game, I suppose, Lochmore seem to love that anyway, don't they? I mean, the week-on-week suits them. They know how to manage the recovery and so on. So, coming up on Sunday now, John McGrath, it's a great stat. John McGrath has won man of the match in the last five games. I think he's played hurling or football. He will Commercials man mark him going into the weekend?
I'd imagine so. I mean, you'd have to. Like, I've long been of the opinion that John McGrath is one of the best footballers in the county, if not the best. Mm-hmm. He's just a fabulous player, and this year he's been outstanding in everything he does. Like, I mean, I remember he was so good. I think it was an under-21 county final, the one a few years ago. He was actually on one leg. He never kicked the ball the whole day, and he still was one man of the match just by controlling the game with his head. Like, yeah, he's just a fabulous, fabulous player. Like, you know, but you know, a lot is made of Lochmore's never say die attitude, and you know, as if there were some sort of modern day Matt the Trashers to turn up on a Sunday and have a goal, like, you know, very little. And I think it's a bit unfair because, you know, I heard Frankie McGrath already saying he doesn't know, you know, what's in him. I tell you, it's what's in him is they're exceptionally talented players, you know, every single one of them. I was even looking there after the semi final, I think they used 18 players that day, and 11 of them had played football for Tip at some level, you know, and that's not counting Noel or Ed Maher, who would definitely have played, you know,
if they put their mind to it,
like, you know, Noel never didn't play minor football, concentrated on the hurling there. But and Ed would have been probably one of the better footballers in the county there. I think it was 2 years ago, 2020. But he picked a minor hurling, so that would be 13 to 18. I mean, very few teams that would have, you know, would have that sort of talent. So, like, the secret to Lochmore's success is they're just exceptionally talented players, you know. And obviously then the commitment and all that comes into it after that. And, you know, then there's, you know, they say an ounce of breeding is better than a ton of feeding. Like, and if you go back through the history of it, like, I mean, Noel Bryan and John's father, Pat, I would have played against him. He was a little bit older than me, but I would have played against him. He was the best footballer I'd ever played against. Like, he was just a fabulous footballer. And Tom McGrath the same. And if you go back a bit further, I think Lochmore beat Commercials in the 56 or 57 county final. And it would have been there, Noel and John's grandfather that was captain of that team. So, like, and there's a lot of the players feed into that gene pool as well, because they're related one way or the other. Like, so yeah. So when you put it all together, you know, it's no surprise that they have the success they have, like, you know, and there's also no surprise that they're meeting Commercials either, because
I was just going to bring Commercials up. I think they might have had 10, if not 11, of the senior football panel this year. So I mean, there's no shortage of talent on that panel either. But who should we be looking out for in the final now at the weekend? Obviously Sean O'Connor, who was kind of on an, well, I suppose if he wasn't under 20, I would imagine he certainly would have been on the senior football team. He had a very good league. He had a very good underage career and certainly played very well with the 20s this year. He's one to look out for.
Yeah, and he's played very well at commercials this year. They've played about four games in the championship. He's scored, what, 6-15 so far. Mm-hmm. So that's fair scoring. He'll have to be marked, but no doubt Lockmore will have plans for that. But like, I mean, obviously Michael Quinlivan, after the goal he got in the final last year, will take special attention as well. Like, you know, and Mikey always takes one or two players away to, you know, allows maybe for somebody else to blossom, if you'll excuse the pun, because that's the Quinlivan nickname. But you know, Jason Lonergan, if he's back now, he didn't play against us, he was sick, and would be a big loss because he's the one player that they don't have a like-for-like replacement with. So I'm sure he'll be back. And Jamie Peters didn't play against us, he was injured, but I think he's going to be okay from what I hear. So, you know, have the two of them back. Well, Jamie has been just, he's a 7 out of 10 man every day he goes out. He's been a fabulous servant of commercials over the years, and he's still not that old. And then from Wiltshire, Seamus Kendi, Jack Kendi, Conal Kendi, Coleman Kendi. You could go through them. Like, and then at the back, Liam Ryan is as good a fullback, old fashioned style fullback. But
a good Cap White man there.
Good Cap White man. Yeah, Liam gets the job done. I certainly wouldn't like me marking them. You know, and Mike O'Reilly in the goal. Like, they have them everywhere. Like, you know, I normally put whoever's going to win a game. Probably people on the board would be sick of listening to me talk about turnovers, because the team that wins the turnovers will invariably win the game, because, like, you know, it's obvious you give yourself more chances to attack the opposition. So if you turn them into scores, you will. But these two teams are past masters at that, and probably the turnover count will be very, very close. It might be as well, it'll be important. I think it's the team that can transition from defence to attack the quickest on Sunday and the more effective, that will win. You'd say in this, you know, as I said earlier, commercials didn't do that very well against us. I think they were spooked by our defensive system. Mm-hmm. And you imagine the wide open spaces of the stadium, they might be able to rely on the kick pass a little bit more to get it in there quick, you know. But I had watched Lockmore play ourselves in the group stages, and you know, at that time of the year, I thought they were a bit like the Munster Rugby team. They, you know, when they turned it over, they put it up the jumper, and it didn't appear again until they got a free in front of the goal, like, you know. And but since then, they've improved in their transition from back to front, immeasurably, really. And against my Rovers, every time they attacked, they looked like they were going to create a scoring opportunity. So I really think it's the team that maybe, you know, that transitions the quickest and maybe has the guts to take a bit of a risk, that will do it, because it's the team that takes the chance that might just come out top today on Sunday in a game that is just too hard to call.
I suppose if you're going into the second water break and commercials are ahead, I would say have a bit of daylight, you could imagine them pushing on and possibly winning it. However, if it's tight and there might be only a point in it going into the water break, it's very hard to bet against Lockmore in that final 15 minutes, because from a fitness point of view, they're probably at the peak of their powers right now with the amount of games they're playing. Plus, they're never willing to back down from the fight, I suppose.
You know, they love that challenge, you know, and as I say, you know, you'd nearly want to be at home eating the dinner before you can decide, you know, and hear the result of the BFM before you'd know that you hadn't beaten. But you know, if it is tight going down the straight, like, commercials don't back down either. You know, they've won a lot of tight games over the years as well, like, you know, including the ones against Lockmore. And you know, while everybody would the popular thing to say would be that you know, Loughmore never bet in a tight game, you know, but I'm sure if you look at their history books, they've probably lost as many tight games as they've won, as have commercials. So, again, I don't know whether if it was only a pint in it either way at the second water break, I wouldn't be advising anyone to run to their local turf accounts to back one team or the other. Like, you know, you have to wait till the final whistle. As you can tell, I just really can't call this game.
leaving aside, I suppose, the two main men in main forwards in Quinlivan and John McGrath, who would you consider to be the players to look out for at the weekend who could potentially be match winners?
Young Conor Ryan from Loughmore is very good and should thrive. He's extremely fast. He's extremely accurate and as fit as fleet. And he doesn't play the hurling either, like, you know. So like he's been in around the tip squad there now for the last 2 years and deservedly so. Like, so he'll punish any freeze that they get, you know, that Loughmore gets. So commercials will have to be very disciplined. So Conor Ryan and Liam McGrath's back as well. And Liam has always been top class. I often said about Liam, are you coming away from a game? I said, Liam was great. You look at your program and you see he scored 6 points, you know. And that's just, he'll keep the scoreboard ticking as he did last Sunday in the Hurling with the last, you know, he had the balls to stand up and hit that last one. So, Liam McGrath, Conor Ryan in the forward line for Loughmore. And I suppose maybe Seamus Kendi and Coleman Kendi, you know, with Loughmore will have to watch them for their long range points. You know, they just, when they throw it up, they don't miss, you know, even if it's 50 yards out. So yeah, they'd be the four players I'd be looking out for anyway.
Yeah, so that's a good game to look forward to. Derek O'Mahony is on the whistle at 2:30 in Semple Stadium on Sunday. Before that, Anthony, I suppose the second most important game of the weekend, the intermediate final, Grange Mauchline, Ballyneal and Drummond Inch. Go head to head. I think that's at 12:30 in the stadium. A good day out for your €10 or €20 for the weekend package, as it is. But Grange Mauchline, obviously they were in this final last year. Very unlucky, as I think not to win it last year. They'll be looking to go up. Seeing our young team with a lot of young players, kind of 20, 21 years old. And I suppose the significance of the game is that it's on the 101st anniversary of the death of Michael Hogan. So there's no shortage of stuff there for Grange Mauchline to get ahead of window.
Yeah, and to be fair, with the significance of the date, I suppose they'll have to go to Willett County behind them as well to see if they can win it on the 104th anniversary of Michael Hogan's death. But you know, they won't have it their own way. They're up against Drum, who, you know, at the start of the championship, people would have, you know, there would have been a lot of people's dark horses to win the Intermediate Football Championship, you know. And as soon as their hurling commitments finished, I think they went from dark horses to very, very bright horses, you know. Yeah. And I have seen them once or twice this year. And what I'm looking forward to is it's to be a real contrast in styles, you know. Drum are steady as you go. They hand pass it up the field. They're a big, big, strong team. You know, when they win possession, they don't generally give it back to you till they get their shot at goal. Like, and then Grange Mauchline, who I think have made no secret of the fact they're probably my favourite team to watch at the moment. They're a real swashbuckling in their approach. You know, good kick passing into the forward line, good movement, everything like that. But they're very, very young, so there'll be not only will there be a contrast in styles of play. Also, the physical size, Drum will be a lot bigger team. So a lot of this game could come down to what the weather is like on a Sunday morning. And if it's a fine day, I would be I'd be fancying Grange Mauchline in the wide open spaces that, you know, their side of play. I think the stadium is ideal for them. But if it's a wet day where the ball isn't sticking and you have to fight for a second ball, Drum. I'd nearly fancy Drum in that situation. You know what I mean? Drum have some good players like Emmett Maloney, David Butler, Jimmy Mullen, Colin Canan, like they've all featured it for Tipperary footballers at some level over the last few years, like, you know. And then put in, they had Jamie Callanan back for the semi-final. I think he played centre forward for the first half against Feather, then went back sweeper. Then they managed to get they both against Golden and against Feather in the semi-final. They were out of the blocks very sharp, very quickly. They were 7 points to one up against Gold, and I think they went 6 points to one up at half time against Feather. Like, and against Feather in the second half, they moved Shamey back as sweeper. And Shamey, from what I haven't seen him play football in a few years, but he was a fine footballer when I seen him play. It must be 4 or 5 years ago now, and I'm sure he hasn't lost it. You know, guys like him could walk into a snooker hall and be making a century break after a week. Like, they just have it, like, you know. So, and then they have David Collins on the freeze. Like, and David, you know, he'll punish any. He was very good against Golden on him. Like, on the left foot freeze, Jimmy Mullen on the right foot freeze. So, you know, they'll be looking to draw fouls and get the two boys shooting from dead balls. But Grange Walker, on the other hand, like, they're very, very young. I'd say they're nearly an under 21 team, you know, in most, like, you know, with a few possible exceptions. Like, but I mean, you know, John Lyons, Mikey Lyons, Leon Kennedy, Jamie Walsh, Sean Daly, Manus McFadden, Mark O'Mara, all top class footballers. And, you know, David Grace, any senior football championship next year if they could get there, you know. But yeah, they'll have their work cut out to beat Drum. And I said, this may well come down to the weather and the day.
Yeah, I don't want to be putting too much pressure on Grange Walker, but I did hear it said before last year's final that it might have been a year too soon for them if they had won it last year. But this year, you don't want to lose two in a row. It puts an awful lot of pressure on you going down the line, trying to make,
you know, it up, doesn't it? Absolutely. And you know, when you have a team that young, then if they lost two in a row, and, you know, if things opened up next year, you could lose a few players to America or whatever. Exactly. You know, so, you know, whereas if they actually got to senior football this year, they might be inclined to stay around and give it a lash. Like, you know, you don't want it, you know, like last year there was an excuse for them. That, you know, I mean, in fairness, some of them weren't long out of the pram last year, you know. But this year, you know, they can't stay making excuses. You know, we're young. You can't stay making this. They have to step up to the mark now and get over the line. I actually think they do. I think they will. I think if it was in Cashel or something, I might have my doubts. But I think the open spaces of Central Stadium will suit them down to the ground. Plus the fact that the style of football that Drum play, you know, moving it up and down the field, it takes a lot of running, and that's a hard style to play in Semple Stadium.
Yeah, very good. So that game goes ahead at 12:30 on Sunday in the stadium. David Grogan is on the whistle for that one, and a good day out in the stadium in store on Sunday. The other senior football competition, Anthony, that's on this weekend is the final of the Tom Cusack Cup. Sees Aherlow taking on Rockwell Rovers. Mm. Now, that game goes ahead on Saturday in John Tracy Park at 1:30. Aherlow finished third in the group. Rockwell finished fourth but were competitive in a very good group. An interesting final between the two West games.
Yeah, I think they met in the West semi-final. I don't think either of them had a full team out on the night. There wasn't a lot between them that night either. And I believe
there's a pint in it.
There's a bit of bite between them as well, like, you know. And actually, look, I'm actually going up to this one, and I'm looking forward to it. Kind of not a really hard one to call. As I said, I thought Aherlow played okay in their group, but when you look at the results, like, they took a couple of hammerings, and they took I forget what it was against them. Care, it might have been 3-14 to 1-6 or 1-7 or something like that. But you know, probably on the day they didn't deserve that sort of a beat. They were competitive in the first half, and my Rovers just ran out better. But
I was at that one. Yeah, it was 2-14 to 1-6, and Barry Grogan
2:14 to 1:6.
Barry Grogan got 1:5.
Yeah, it was a last minute goal, but it was probably what they deserved for their efforts on the day. Like, you know, now that's not to say the Boyle Rovers were a far, far superior team. You know, the one time I was disappointed was against Oberchurch. It was at that game over in Golden, I think it was. And, you know, Oberchurch were 12 points to 4 winners and could have been a lot further ahead, like, you know. They were getting through 1-1 and just tipping it over the bar, like they were always comfortable, like. And but in fairness to Arlo, like they regrouped and they beat Moyne in the quarterfinals in the Tom Cusack, like that's which guaranteed them their senior status for next year. Now I don't know what sort of a team Moyne had out that night, that week, but the intermediate final the week after, I'm sure they were short a few. Like, but I mean, 2:14 to 1:11 is a comprehensive enough victory. And then, you know, probably the same applies against Killinall, who were out in the Seamus O'Rean final, that they beat them in the semi the week after, 17 points to 1:11. So, you know, they need probably, they've won the West, I think, for the effort that they put in this year. You know, they would love to win another one, because you know, there's a few lads that might only be a year or two left in them. So to go out with two cups in the 1 year, it would be a great year for them. Like, but I mean, the one lad that has impressed me, one of the younger lads that has impressed me this year is Ty Carew. I thought he's been very good at wing back, like in any game I've seen him. Like, Mark Russell has had a fine season for him as well, and he's ably assisted there at midfield with Kevin Canaan, so that gives him a bit of energy and height and strength in midfield. And and sure, then, you know, Barry Grogan up front, like, I mean, he's doing all the scoring for them again, like, you know. So, and he's nearly unmarkable when he's on form, like, even though he's probably, I don't know, 101 years of age or whatever he is, like, you know. He's been an absolutely brilliant servant to Arlo on tip over the years.
He just seems to have been around so long.
On the scene so young, you think that, oh, you know, God, is he still at it, like, you know. Yeah. So,
Ben Carey plays up front for them as well, quite a good footballer. He's an under-19. I think Luby, Dermot Luby, is probably back now.
I haven't seen him play this year. I hear he's very, very good now. He's involved with the Hurling there for a while, wasn't he? With the Tip Hurlers, wasn't he?
He was on the minor Hurling, I think, last year. But he was, I've seen him play football, and he's an excellent fielder of the ball. He's mobile. He's a young as well, probably an under-18, under-19. So he'd be a big addition to them.
Hanleys there to come on as well, like Merrick and Thomas. So, you know, they know what goes where as well and why. You know, they're experienced players. So, you know, they have a good team. But I mean, Rockwell, you know, we played them in the first round of the championship. And for anyone looking at the results, you'd think we give them an awful hammering, which it wasn't like that at all. I think they were ahead of us at the first water break. They gave us a couple of silly goals, one from a penalty and nearly straight away from the kick. I was a stupid kick out, and we got two goals within a minute or so, and then they had a man sent off, and even at that there was only a point or two in it at half time. But with the 14 men, we were able to pull away from them, you know. And you know, they gave a good, I think they were beating a lot more right up to, you know, halfway through the second half as well, like. So they've been given a good account of themselves for their first year at senior football. And, you know, when you look at their team, you see, like, so Liam Fahey. Liam's an absolutely fabulous player, great time from Rocky Maloney and the two Ryans, Gavin and DJ, you know. Yeah. You know, just the scores in the last three that I mentioned, like, I mean, you'll have to keep them quiet if you want to beat Rockwell, like, you know. But I mean, it'll all be, you know, Ian Fahey is, you know, a Rolls Royce engine there. I know he was on the tip panel for a while. I'm not sure whether he left or his own accord or whether he was dropped, but either way, I was surprised, you know, that he's still not on it, because I just have great time for him as a footballer. He's one of the best around.
Yeah, it sure is, and kicked a lot of football underage with Tip over the years as well. So
he's great lad. Yeah,
no, that should be a good game on Saturday in Tip Town, and As you said, there's a bit of bite in. I know Derry Peters trained Rockwell for a while and is involved with Aherlow as well. So they'll know each other. They'll know each other quite well. So
it'll be an
interesting game. A good game for a neutral if you're looking for something.
I'm actually going to it myself, so I'm looking forward to it too.
Yeah. The junior football final goes ahead this weekend as well. We have Knockavilla Kickums from the west and Ballina from the north into that. That's on Saturday. It's in Kilcommon now. I think there was a couple of venue changes on that, but it's in Kilcommon at 2:00.
I thought it was in that in Templemore.
No, it's changed now again to Kilcommon. So Kickums had a very good win over the Swan. Two first teams there, 2-6 to 1-7 in the semi final. A come from behind win, I think, for Kickums there to win that.
Yeah.
While Ballina beat Turles Arsfields 12-7 in the other semi final. Kickums were in this final a couple of years ago. Tommy Landers there, who's the chairman of the board in Oak, does a lot of football there with Kickums, and they play very well. They actually had they won the West Final on penalties. Flipper, Green was in the goal for Kickums. He saved four penalties. So he's a big unit.
I remember following that on Twitter, I think the first three penalties was nil all. Right. After the first three penalties, Sean Tracy has missed all four penalties, which is amazing, and then in the semi-final against Swan, after coming through the West final on penalties in the semi-final against Swan, they went into injury time needing the point to win or to draw it, and they got a goal to win it, they certainly have taken the hard route too, they have a few players that that would have been in around tip teams as well. I think Eddie Daly there, he's playing centre back for him at the moment. I remember him as a minor back in, might have been 17 or 18, and I think he played corner forward in the tip minor team. But he was a fine footballer.
Larkin would have come up together all through the underage setup with tip there from they're about 20 years old now. So they have a lot of football played actually underage.
And should Jamie Duncan has he had a great year with the tip under 20s this year, I foreseen Jamie. I think it was 2017 fail out in Temple Tui. Knockavilla won it actually. They won the A that year. They beat Clonmel Commercials in the final. But Jamie Duncan gave a performance that I think it might have been the best underage performance I ever seen from any young lad. Because we were going around trying to find out who in the name of God is this red-headed chap at wing back. He was just unbelievable. Then I found out he was good at hurling as well. he would have been 2 or 3 years minor hurler, I think. But he got his shot with the tip under 20s this year and had a good game. And Conor Horgan seems to be, they're putting over freeze for sport, So he's obviously a good player as well. When you look at Ballina, I should say, they beat Port Row in the North Final. Yeah, which is actually on under lights in Dr. Morris Park, they beat him 16-1-6. I think the impressive standout stat from that game was they had 10 different scorers on the night, which was fairly impressive. 9 at the start, then one of the Malai came off the bench to nick a point later on in the game, So they were comfortable winners of the North. So when they played Sarsden then in the semi final they beat them by five points, and it was 17-12. As we all know, Sars, they can all play football. But they had Paddy Greaton played from that night, and Kieran Costello as well. Connor, I think was it Connor there? One of the Cyclones was there that night as well. When Kieran was on the tip under 20 panel this year, came on in the Munster final actually. So that was a good Stars team to beat, and they have a few imports as well. Willie Connors is playing from, and Willie played senior for Tip. Willie would be a great addition to any senior football team, not alone a junior football team. And then Michael Breen at centre forward, and you know, two corner forwards in Finn Looney and Matthew Power seem to be kicking points for fun. Like, they're nearly giddy from kicking points there against Sarsfields. I think they got seven between them, you know. So, on the balance of it, like, you know, what I've seen so far, I would, and if a few under 19s there as well, and Derek King did. We played them under 19 last Sunday in a county semi final, and they beat us. You know, while we'd have been disappointed enough with our performance, they didn't let us play, and they beat us by 3 points, and could well have been more. They were well deserving winners, like, and a few good young players there, like that. Derek King is a very good player. So with Michael Breen at centre forward, you know, I think there would be obviously the standout player being Stephen O'Brien.
I was going to say Stephen O'Brien should be around the middle.
Like, I've named a lot of players before I got to Stephen. So on the balance of what I've seen so far, I'd be going for Ballina to win that one.
Yeah, Ballina have
Landers won likely for that.
But yeah, Ballina have a lot of work done. Underage, I think they won the 21B last year, and they're in the 19A final.
The 19A final. It's not this weekend. I think it's the weekend after Temple Moor against Cobble Commercials. They'll have to work good out of them, but mean from there. But they're well drilled. Stephen is actually over him, and he isn't well drilled. Like, and they're a powerful. I mean, not the biggest, but they're a powerfully built side. So, you know, Commercials won't have it all their own way, but you'd imagine they might have too much from in the end. Like, just a little bit more experience.
Yeah, with my West hat on, I'll be hoping the Kickums get over the line in this one and get up to the intermediate grade.
When we do the review, we can see who was right.
Yeah. obviously, before we leave you, Anthony, the biggest game of football on this weekend takes place in Dundrum on Saturday at 1 o'clock. The mighty Cappawhite Gaels take on Open Church in the 19B final. both teams had.
Well, wait, do you want me to handle this one, Mike?
Will I give you
something for the dressing room wall, or will I give you something for that you can use in the pub after? You know? Overture should be in the air, or something like that.
We found out to our cost on this podcast over the last number of weeks that a lot of the stuff that we say tends to end up in the dressing room. So I don't know, are we going to be getting county medals out of some of the stuff we're saying, that we seem to be an inspiration for some teams. But both teams had good wins in their semi-final. The Church destroyed Newport in one semi-final, and we had a very good win over Mulnahohan in the other semi-final.
Yeah.
I was talking to Conor Dwyer actually there one night, and he was telling me that the Church are, they've only one player up to the age, so they're going to be a handful at 19 football again next year with this team. But Luke Shanahan is obviously the standout footballer.
Luke, you see, just remember now that I think it was 2017. Upper Church were under 14A football champions. They beat my Rovers in extra time, like, you know. To be drawn a lot of that team, and a very good team, like, you know. But Luke Shannon obviously being the standout playing senior football for him, and did very well in all their games from this year. But this is the way we'll handle this, Mike. I'll give you a few lads that you can go down and a few names you can go down to train and tonight and tell them who to match up, like, you know. Power Ryan at six, he's a serious bit of stuff. Like, you know, he's a proper centre back and gets forward and drives forward full of energy, great player. James Griffin, you probably be aware of, he was tip minder goalie there for a year or two, you know, but he's actually playing full back you know. Yeah. He's a fine player. Oshin Tracy
in the middle of the field. I have more here. I have more written down.
If you mark the four of them, you'll have a good job done, though. Yeah. You know? But I haven't seen Cappa White, so you know, you probably obviously would know more about them than I would, like. But Upper Church have been very, very good underage in football over the last few years, particularly next year's team. Like, next year's Dourlas Oak were considered to be untouchable at under 16 when that grade was going, like, you know. And Upper Church took them to a point in the mid-final, like, you know, in football. So, and they'd have a lot of that team there tomorrow. Yeah. Or on Saturday, I should say. So, as I said, but if you mark the four of them, you'll have good work done and give yourselves a chance.
That's all we've done. We surprised ourselves by getting so far. struggled through the West a little bit up until semi-final stage, and even at that were controversially knocked out, but got back in on appeal, I suppose, is the diplomatic way of putting it. But turned that around to win the replay of that semi-final, and then had a very good win in the West Final against a strong Rockwell team who would beat us earlier on the time. But a couple of good Conor Martin there, who was on the Tip Minor hurling team last year, plays wing back, excellent footballer now, one to look out for in the future. So he's only 16-17 and an excellent footballer up and down the wing, and a good scoring forward. He's a solid head man, Tristan Stokes. Another, again, young. He's still under 17, but he's putting up big scores for us, corner forward. Yeah. Deadly on the freeze and then from general play as well.
I'll give you very young now, but you had another solid head man there that I would have been involved with, in under 14 development squad, or that Stephen D.
Stephen
was a fun. An
excellent footballer, and played midfield for us all through the championship, but got injured in the West Final and didn't feature in the semi-final against Mullinahone, and doubtful that he'll feature again this weekend, which is a big loss for us. But for that semi-final, we had Garrod Ryan Vaughan back, who hadn't played all year with a knee injury, and we had him back. So it was as it turned out, it was a straight swap, but to be great for us to have both of them fit and available. But look, them's the breaks, I suppose.
You're playing this undercard or this underdog card beautifully, Mike. If the Overchurcher lads are listening, they'll nearly go to the pub on Friday night.
They should. They should celebrate beforehand. That's what. But that game goes ahead, Anthony, at 1 o'clock on Saturday in Dundalk, the 19B final. That's all we have time for. I think we've all the football spoken about. Anthony, thanks very much for joining us on the Premier View.
No problem, Mike.
And we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Mike.
So yeah, look, that's all we have time for this week, lads. Thanks very much for joining us. As I said earlier on, don't forget to follow us on our social medias and subscribe to the podcast wherever you do get it. And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time, I would say, to have a look at the Turles Arfields and Loughmore replay and see how mine got on in the Munster Intermediate Hurling. Until then, thanks very much, lads, and we'll talk to you again. John Abu.
When we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.